Hey, it's your host, Austin Nolton, and I welcome you back to another episode of the Woke Settler podcast series. Today's episode is on missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. Before we get started, I would like to inform you that we're covering a serious topic that is plaguing our nation of Canada. Viewer discretion is advised. Canada faces a countrywide epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. This is an ongoing problem that still lacks a resolution to this day. According to the Native Women's Association of Canada, during the time from 2000 to 2008, Aboriginal women or girls were 10% of all female homicides in Canada, while they only made up 3% of all female population in Canada. Throughout the years, the number of missing or murdered Indigenous women or girls has only increased. The problem has gotten so bad these past two decades that the Indigenous community has gotten tired of asking the authorities for help. This is due to their very unsteadfast approach they maintain when attempting to solve cases to do with missing or murdered Indigenous women or girls. Many Indigenous people have now decided to stop waiting and no longer rely on authorities and have begun to take action on their own accord, just like Bernadette Smith. Bernadette Smith started the organization called Drag the Red, which drags the bottom of the Red River, which is located in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Manitoba is known for its high rate of missing and murdered Indigenous women. The organization was started in 2014 by a group of friends after the death of Tina Fontaine. Tina's body was found in the Red River, wrapped in plastic, being weighed down by concrete. Tina Fontaine had been missing 10 days prior to this, and the police discovered her body by accident. They had been looking for a man after they had received multiple reports of somebody struggling in the river. Drag the Red started as just a small 12-person group on Facebook that has now turned into a much larger initiative. The group's original hope was for the police to take over, but that hope was never realized. You're about to listen to an interview from September 10th, 2015, held between Hillary Beaumont and the Staff Sergeant Robert Whiffle of Winnipeg's Police Department, answering questions to do with the lack of involvement in the efforts of Drag the Red.
Do you find it a problem that civilians are doing what could be considered police work?
No, I don't, because we wouldn't be doing it in the first place. If they feel comfort and solace in doing it, to bring closure to themselves and anybody else, then all the power to them, and we support that as a police service.
You support it morally, but not with resources?
Correct. It's not a good allocation of our resources. Basically, it's like looking for a needle in the haystack when you don't even know there's a needle there. Most of those, actually all of those seven bodies are the ones that have come up and been viewed. None of them were located on the bottom of the river. That's not something that occurs.
But how would you know that there's nothing to find if you're not searching?
We know the likelihood of finding something. It's blackwater diving here, so for a hook to find something is so remote it's not even in the realm of a lottery win. We dive it as safe as we can, but there is the possibility of being entangled, having your umbilical cut. It's inherently dangerous diving in black water. You can't see anything. To risk someone doing that on spec is just not something any of us are willing to do.
So is there any point in searching at all?
In our estimation, no.
Maybe that's why people are dumping bodies in there. If seven bodies have been found in the last year, you don't think it's worth searching at all?
Most of those bodies are suicides that have gone in by themselves. So people aren't readily dumping bodies in the river willy-nilly all the time. That's kind of a false statement.
You don't think that there have been any murdered women dumped in the river?
Obviously, Tina Fontaine was, but to say anything beyond what's been discovered, I can't say that. Nobody can say that.
Drag the Red has told us that as Indigenous people, they feel that police aren't caring about them. What are you planning to do to address that issue?
We do care about them. I meet with Bernadette all the time, Bernadette Smith. We've had several discussions. We support their initiative in the sense that if they feel they're doing something constructive to address what they see as an issue, then we support that. To allocate resources to that when we, as the experts that know the river, know that it's remotely unlikely to find something like that.
If they were to find something, a bone that was human, would you then commit resources?
Absolutely.
That's what would you do next?
We would find out where that bone came from. As a matter of fact, they turned in several bones last year that turned out not to be of human origin.
But the question is, could you do more?
And that's what I'm saying. I really don't think there is anything we can do more other than drain this river and walk it end to end and have a look. Like I said, it doesn't matter how much money we have. There's really no other way to check it.
The overall intended purpose of Drag the Red was to provide closure and support for families that have a missing loved one. Drag the Red hopes that by doing what they can, they may be able to answer or provide insight on what happened to the missing or murdered. A year later, the cries for help from Indigenous people were finally heard and acknowledged by the federal government after being ignored for so long. It was on December 8, 2015, when the National Inquiry of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls was launched. Throughout the duration of the inquiry, there were many setbacks and times where it was thought the result would be a failure. However, that wasn't the case. It took nearly 3 years, and on June 3, 2019, a final report of the National Inquiry was completed and released to the public. The National Inquiry found that the violence experienced by Indigenous women and girls is genocide. Genocide. This word sparked a debate and controversy so large it was thought it may overshadow the 1,200-page long report along with the inquiry. In this audio clip you're about to hear from CBC News, you can see how much controversy there is covering the situation on the first day.
You heard the Chief Commissioner use the word genocide to describe Canada's treatment of Indigenous peoples. Now, Salima Shivji takes a deeper look at what it really means and the debate over whether it's deserved.
A loaded word mentioned again and again. The report argues the deaths and disappearances of Indigenous women is genocide, a direct result of state policy, whether it be residential schools, forced sterilization, or the 60s coup of Indigenous children from their families.
To the people that don't think that there is a genocide today, we have 1,200 pages.
The Prime Minister accepted those pages with a promise to act, but without repeating that word, even when confronted with it.
Genocide!
This is an uncomfortable day for Canada, but it is an essential day.
I was hoping that he would have, that courage to put that new chapter that we are all requesting.
But in a clear indication of how contentious a word genocide is, even commissioners disagree.
We don't need to hear the word genocide come out of the Prime Minister's mouth, because the families have told us, the survivors have told us their truths.
I fear.
Romeo Dallaire saw a genocide unfold in Rwanda. The legal definition, he says, requires intent to destroy.
Is that an act of genocide? Is it? I got a problem. Is it deliberate? Do we want that to happen? Is that what our government wants to happen? Or is our government just that inept?
A divisive debate that could overshadow the report's recommendations.
Perhaps they had to use a term like genocide in order to sound the alarm, and people will take notice, and finally action will result. But I think we have to guard against using that term in too many ways, because then it'll cease to have the singular importance and horror that it warrants.
The current Attorney General made it clear this is not the day to argue semantics.
The important thing today is not about definitions, but about action, and that's where we're going.
So Salima's here with me now. As you showed us there, Salima, the Prime Minister, other ministers, a little reluctant to use that word today. Why was that?
Yeah, that's right, but not avoiding it per se. The Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, actually said the word genocide at an event tonight in a matter-of-fact way when talking about the report.
Earlier this morning, the National Inquiry formally presented their final report
in which they found that the tragic violence that Indigenous women and girls have experienced amounts to genocide.
Now, in 2021, the recommendations made by the inquiry to the government are progressing well. Some of the points of progression consist of the increase in effort from the RCMP on unsolved cases of missing or murdered Indigenous women or girls, investing in Indigenous education and housing, and reforming child services to focus on prevention in order to keep children connected with their culture, as well as language, and keeping families together. They are also ensuring that the voice of Indigenous women are heard through the recognition of the rights framework. After hearing all of this, what are your thoughts on the violence towards Indigenous women and girls? If you're willing and wanting to help, there are many things you can do, like spreading awareness, checking out groups like Drag the Red, and just simply supporting Indigenous women and girls. Thank you for listening.